All right. Welcome to the DDT Archives. I am your host, Chris. With me, as always, is my tag team partner in podcasting, my best friend, everybody's best friend, Greg. Greg, what is going on, my man?
I am fired up tonight. How are you?
Fantastic. I am so excited to speak to Long Island's favorite nerd. He is the toughest nerd I have ever seen. And sometimes he just straight up gets evil. And that means I am talking to the one and the only Francis Kip Stevens. What's going on, man?
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me on your show. I'll keep the good nerd answers going right now, but if you got it out of hand, I'm gonna make it a little evil if you want.
We're up for anything. I don't know what that means right now. Probably regret saying that, but hey, you know, we'll have some fun. So, growing up on Long Island, tell us about, you know, your experiences watching wrestling. Obviously, Nassau Coliseum plays a major role in professional wrestling. You know, what are your earliest memories?
Definitely. So my earliest memory of wrestling, when I was 7 years old, just to give a backstory, I had a traumatic head injury. I was climbing a tree and then I fell out of it and I cracked my skull on like those granite bricks that line a driveway. And I cracked 2/3 of my skull. And that summer, because of that, I wasn't allowed to have any contact. So I wasn't allowed to do any sports or anything, which was depressing. And that summer, ironically, is when I started watching wrestling because I had nothing else to do. It was amazing. And I was hooked. That SummerSlam was unreal with him against Rick Rude in the steel cage. And I've been a fan ever since. I wish I had cool memories of going to shows when I was younger, but my parents never took me. So people have these like great stories about going to Nassau Coliseum. My first show I went to, I was a senior in high school, so there's a tremendous gap between when I was young to high school. I think like one time, this is a terrible story. I was really young and my dad took me in the car. He's like, hey, I have a special surprise. I'm like, what? He's like, we're going to meet the Bushwhackers. I was like, oh my God, the Bushwhackers. We get to where the Bushwhackers are doing the signing and there was a line wrapped around the building. My dad's like, whoa, that's a long line. We're not meeting the Bushwhackers.
That's so mean.
Yeah.
That is
so
horribly mean.
It was. Oh, my God. So, yeah, and as far as going to events, it just never happened until I had my own money, and then I went with a group of friends, and that was, like, taking it to the next level.
See, that's funny, because I was the same way. My dad hates wrestling, and I was always a fan, and we never went to anything. I don't think... I was just talking about this with Chris's brother the other day. I think the first show I ever went to was like the summer after we graduated high school in 99. Like that was it. It was a house show at the Meadowlands. That was the first show I ever went to. It was way late in my wrestling fandom.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, usually like there's that drop-off point for like kids. Like you get into it for a bit and then everyone stops watching, but you know, I was a survivor. I was the one who hung tough. And like, it's kind of funny that I didn't even have like a formative like show experience to fall back on. And it's, you know, kind of wild that I still maintain my fandom.
My favorite pay-per-view that I ever attended was at Nassau. SummerSlam 02 we went to, and that was incredible.
Oh, man, that's one of my biggest regrets is not going to that one. I missed it because I was dating a girl at the time. My memories of SummerSlam are much better than that relationship.
Funny story, I got broken up with because we got tickets that morning.
No!
So the morning the tickets went on sale, and it was my fault. I fucked up. This is back in the day of Instant Messenger and AIM and all that. And my dumbass was talking to another girl while my girlfriend slept over. And I fucking forgot to close the window. So we're online waiting to buy tickets. And she is calling me and breaking up with me. And I'm going, and I remember my favorite statement was, I'm not a violent person, but if you let my dog out the front door when you leave, we're going to have an issue. And that was the last time I saw her until 2005.
Listen, if SummerSlam 02 has taught us anything, it's that Rey Mysterio and Kurt Angle have great matches, and whoever we were dating at the time, it just wasn't meant to be. Those are the two lessons. Yeah.
That's how we got tickets was funny, too. We drove out to the Coliseum, and we live right on the border of New York and New Jersey, so that's a good hour 15 ride for us. And we waited online, and the line is stupid on a Saturday morning. And I'm on the phone on my big, giant 2002 cell phone. We're on the phone with Ticketmaster while we're online. And then the guy online behind us hands me his phone. He's like, I have Ticketmaster. They have two seats. He's like, we don't want them here. And we got our two tickets from a stranger's cell phone, and we're able to go to the show.
That's a wonderful story. There's, like, the wrestling community coming together right there.
There are still good people in this crazy mixed up world we live in, sir.
That was before fans started hijacking shows and stuff.
Yeah.
And my other favorite Nassau Coliseum story is in 2005, I was coaching wrestling at a high school, and two of our kids qualified for the state championship, which was at Nassau. So I got to coach in the state finals of the 119-pound weight class and hang in the Islanders locker room. And that, as a Ranger fan, I couldn't care less about the Islanders, but it was still really, really fucking cool to be in a professional locker room.
Oh, definitely. I had the privilege of going to the Islanders locker room for something else. And I'm a huge Ranger fan as well. And I got to meet Rick DiPietro, a couple of the other Islanders, and I gotta admit, like, they were really nice guys. And even though I wish them ill underneath my breath, I gotta admit that they were cool dudes.
100%. And that's how we feel about professional wrestlers, Greg and I. Like, everybody we've talked to has been so welcoming and really enjoyable to talk to. You know, we've really taken to synergy. You know, I know I messaged you after your match last week that I really enjoyed it. You know, I thought the promo McIntosh cut was hilarious. You know, I could see where you wouldn't like it, but getting what he wanted was pretty fun. Talk to us about that match with Whisper, because, you know, I wasn't familiar with him. I was familiar with you, having talked to you. You know, what an awesome match.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I can't say enough great things about Synergy Wrestling, the promotion. If people listening to this are unfamiliar with Synergy, definitely go out of your way to check them out. Not just for my stuff, but for the entire roster. Yeah, I saw it was going to be against Matt McIntosh. I was super excited for that match. And then all of a sudden it turns into Whisper. And, you know, it was a bummer to lose to him, but clearly I wasn't prepared. A little peek behind the curtain. Toward the end of the match, I actually got injured. I took something on my shoulder, and then my right arm actually lost all feeling and went completely numb. So I was lucky to finish that match. But again, I'm not taking anything away. Whisper got a great win, and it looks like he's going to be part of the Synergy roster. It's just a shame it happened at my expense, but, you know, just going to keep on keeping on. You won't be the last time you see me at Synergy. And, you know, I have a goal to be one of the main guys there. And, you know, it might take a bunch of losses along the way to get there, but I will get there.
You came super close to being in the Cruiserweight Crown match. Our friend TJ grabbing your tights. So, you know, it's funny. When I talked to him, I didn't say it was wrong. When I'm talking to you, I'm going to be honest, it was wrong. He shouldn't have cheated. Is your goal in the short term to get into contention for that crown and to take it away from whoever wins it for, you know, immediately?
Well, the first wrong thing you said is TJ is your friend. TJ is no one's friend. That's the Windy City kid. Go, you know, get swept away. My immediate goal for Synergy is to really establish myself on that roster and get some wins underneath my belt. That's important to me. And then after that, that's when I'm going to start focusing on goal, like championships there. The Tsuji crown would be awesome, but so would the big belts. And I think narrowing myself down is not the way to go. I think, let's just get on that winning streak, and then whatever I can take, I'm going to go for.
You've kind of made mention to this synergy company as a whole. Talk about the chemistry you guys have in the locker room.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, what I love about Synergy is Colin gives a lot of people chances. I'll see names on there. I'm like, oh man, I haven't heard of this guy. Or, oh wow, this is an interesting matchup. Colin is very open about that. Again, another peek behind the curtain. Before all COVID, he was going to run a show in New Jersey WrestleMania weekend. But I told him, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be in Tampa or not. And his response to me was, you know, if you're in Tampa, that's great. Congratulations. Good for you. Chase after it. But if you're not, I'd love to have you on the show. And that just speaks how highly I think of Colin as a promoter. As far as the backstage, it's great because, I get to meet people like Jazz was on the show that I was a part of. And I was like, man, Jazz was a really cool part of ECW and a very underrated part of the WWE women's roster. It was cool to introduce myself to her. And then I can look around and then I'll see, Logan Black, who I get along with super well. When Jeff Cannonball is there and his lovely wife, I'm always happy to see those two. And then I'll look and I met JD Drake on the last show and he was a sweetheart of a human being. So it's kind of cool because you're getting a potpourri of nice established independent names and people looking to make their mark. And I think that makes for a great locker room because the people who Colin brings in aren't stuck up and high and mighty. Everyone is, gets along and everyone's open to conversation. It's really cool like that.
I think something that really stuck out to us, and we've kind of, we talked to Colin last week, and we jokingly said we hitched our wagon right to Synergy after talking to him one time because he's so charismatic and just such he's such a good human being. Like, and you get that feeling from the first time you speak to him, knowing that he's the owner and promoter, but then doesn't put himself on the shows. Says everything you need to know about him. Like, to me, that's something that, you don't see a lot in the independent scene. You see a lot of those guys, it feels like they only trust themselves to go out and talk four times in a show. And that's not what you get from Colin. And I think that's what makes Synergy unique. Not to mention, every match on the card is a little bit different and super engaging. I can't wait to go on the 25th. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic to get to see it live. And I'm hoping that Synergy continues to grow because all of you guys deserve that. It's clear that you all love what you
Yeah, I mean, this is turning into the Colin West Love Fest, and that rhymed. But yeah, even, I'm not on the next show, but I've been retweeting it and trying to get attention for it because I believe in the company and I believe in Colin. And even if I, wrestling left me, like I no longer could wrestle, Colin's somebody who I'd want to keep in touch with. I met him, I think the first time was at a Dropkick Depression show. And we instantly just talked, hit it off, like just two, good friends. And he also made a remark because I was wearing a Muppet shirt at the time. And he's like, you like the Muppets too? He's like, oh, now we definitely got to be friends. I was like, that, oh, you know it. So it's cool that you can, wrestle for a promotion like that. And you have a promoter that really, is encouraging and believes in you and, wants the best for everybody on that roster. And doesn't have one of those like, oh, you can't wrestle for them, you're wrestling for me. No, he's not really like that. And I think that's what's really, again, it makes you want to wrestle really well for a place like that.
Muppets fan, like that. I used to have a Dr. Teeth in the Electric Mayhem t-shirt.
Dynamite.
Right? The best television fake band in the history of the world.
I will say this. Can you picture that is a great song.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're fantastic. Chris, did we lose you yet with the
Yeah, I don't have a clue. But cool, good for you guys. I would wear a Muppet shirt though. 100% I would. Yeah, I don't. I honestly don't. I know I watched them as a kid. I just don't remember. I remember Muppet Babies, the cartoon.
They're back now. I have to watch
Are
the.
They really?
I have to watch the current version with my kid constantly.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Sometimes when I talk on the podcast, I hear Beaker.
For Disney Plus, they're going to have a Muppet show coming out really soon.
Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah, the one they had on ABC fairly recently was pretty good too. So, you know, I'm hoping that honestly, if they just do a throwback to what, you know, the original Muppet Show was with a bunch of like skits and stuff, I'll be all for it.
I'll tell you what, as going back to Disney Plus, the original Muppet movies, so they have the Muppet movie, Great Muppet Caper that are on Disney Plus, those hold up outside of the 70s celebrities that maybe kids today wouldn't recognize, but those movies are funny. And
all right.
I enjoyed going back and watching them on Disney Plus when they came out. I was like, oh, I didn't even know. I knew the Muppets were part of Disney, obviously, but I didn't know they were going to have those. So it sucks that Muppets Take Manhattan isn't a Disney movie because we can't see that one.
I think a Christmas tradition for people of our age also is the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Hell yeah.
And there's an obscure Muppet TV special. It's called the Muppet Family Christmas. And this was something that I'm going to name drop, but Hornswoggle and I talk about being our favorite Muppet Christmas thing. Because you had the Muppets, what they do is they crash Fozzie's grandma's house. She wants to go on a cruise, but they crashed, so she stayed. Then all of a sudden Sesame Street comes, and then they go in the basement and Fraggle Rock is there. And it was like,
oh, no way. It's the mother of all crossovers.
Yeah, like there was two big events in my youth. I wanted to see WCW versus WWF and this with all the Muppets together. And it was phenomenal. One of those things lived up to the hype. The other one, not as much.
Yeah.
I got to check that
WCW
out.
WCW versus WWF. Had so much potential.
What, the invasion?
Yeah, if they had just signed the right guys. But I can't blame them. I would have sat at home for millions of dollars, too.
You know, at least it happened. But, you know, again, I think for most fans, it was disappointing. But what are you going to do? It's wrestling.
I had a text conversation with Chris's brother because I was trying to remember something. And, you know, getting up in age, sometimes it escapes me. But I had to text him because I had this vague memory of being at a SmackDown taping during the invasion angle. And I couldn't remember if that was true or not, or I was just imagining it. But I confirmed with your brother, Chris, that we were at Madison Square Garden for a SmackDown taping during the invasion.
Yeah, we definitely were.
Yeah, I couldn't put my finger on it if it was true or not. I don't know. Sometimes my memories are other.
We've been to a lot more shows than we think we have.
Probably.
I wish my wife didn't make me throw out all my tickets. Let's talk about your training. You're a Creative Pro New York guy, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what it was like learning under Brian Myers and Pat Buck.
All right. So let me clarify a little bit. I didn't start at Creative Pro New York. I started at NYWC on Long Island. That's where I met Brian and Pat for the first time. My first trainer there was Crusher Dugan, who just recently passed away. And he was somebody who kind of showed me my fundamentals. But then, like, I stayed for advanced class in open ring. And that's where I got helped out by, like, a lot of people. Like Tony Nese was there. Trent Beretta was still there at the time. Papa Don, John Silver, Alex Reynolds. Like, there was a lot of really great wrestlers there. And if you wanted to get ring time, you kind of had to keep pace with them. And I sucked. I was the worst. But I worked my butt off because I wanted to be, you know, amongst them because they're so great. eventually Pat Buck came on as a head trainer, and that was when I got to meet Pat. And at that point, like, I wasn't a beginner, but I was still definitely somebody who could use help, and he was very good at, rounding me out. Along this time too, Brian Myers would, even though he was signed to WWE, he would come to NYWC because they weren't really using him on TV much, but he wanted to stay ready. So he would come for class every now and again, and he'd also do his secret trainings, and he would invite me to come, which was really awesome. So there'd be times where in the building it would just be me, Brian, Pat Buck, Alex Reynolds, DJ Fat Pat, and myself, and we would just wrestle. And that made me really good in a hurry. Another guy who really rounded out my training was Mike Mondo, because at that time, Mondo needed just somebody to help him out, and he tagged me. And he really, like, that experience helped me out a lot because it made me become a leader. He would tell me to have matches with somebody who was there for a month of training. I'm like, I can't have a match with them. He's like, oh yeah, you can, and if it stinks, it's your fault. I'm like, they only know three moves. Well, you better make them count. So that really helped out a lot. To go to Creative Pro now, what happened was I moved to Oregon, and when I came back to New York, I definitely felt like I needed a change. I needed to step up my game. And when Creative Pro opened, like, I wished them well. I was kind of loyal to NYWC, but when I came back, I just knew I needed to make that change, and it's been a change for the better. Like, Creative Pro is a very special place. The way Pat and Brian run things, it's a tight ship, but it's such a great learning environment. They aren't out to big league anybody. They aren't out to make you feel inadequate. They're there to teach you how to become a wrestler. And they do such a great job. And everybody in there is rooting for everybody else. So when I got there, MJF was there, but he was very, new. He just started getting on shows. Statlander or somebody else who came in, I saw her from day one and seeing how she's progressed. And there's no bitterness or hostility toward either of those two. We all are so proud of them that they made it this far. The same thing for somebody like, Max Caster, who does these great Friday freestyles that are just awesome. And I love, like, saying, hey, those are great, keep them coming. And a guy like Bear Bronson, who's like putting in the work. And again, it's a testament to Brian and Pat and their training methods. And they're really great with me. They let me keep the building open, so I always try and keep it open for everybody to get extra work in. And we're all there to encourage each other, help each other out. And for somebody like me who's a little bit later on in his wrestling career, it's good to be around young guys because they're young, they're hungry, they're pushing, they want opportunities. And it makes me have to step up my game because, again, like, if these young guys are nipping at my heels, I don't want to lose my opportunities, and it makes me work harder and makes me push myself to try and get out there more. And it's good to have that kind of motivation around you. Long answer to a short question, I know.
No, it's a great answer. And it's one of those things that we've had a lot of guys from the Creative Pro New Jersey side, just coincidentally. So we were looking forward to talking to you to come from the Long Island side because everything we've heard about that school is it's such a top-notch business from start to finish. And obviously the talent speaks for itself, and that includes you. Now, can you take us through the development of your character? Because that's always something that really interests me as a fan, how you came about that.
All right, so with One Tough Nerd Kip, when I was at NYWC, again, I freely admit I was struggling in training. I'm not really the most athletic guy, and like, I kind of have two left feet. I'm very clumsy. It'd be interesting, like, going through it and things not clicking, but it was coming time where it's like, okay, we should get you to have a match. And they were like, we think your character should be a nerd character. But that was where they left it. From there, it was kind of up to me to fill in the blanks. So my attitude was like, okay, I'm just gonna throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. That's why, like, the pants and the colors I wear, everything kind of like, started with an idea, but then I kept on adding to it, like the Argyle high socks, like the wrestling with the goggles on, the pop, like everything, just doing things and like changing my music. Like, I remember, like, the first music I came out to was a joke. Like, they played Notorious B.I.G. like to rib me, but I came out to the ring dancing, and the fans loved it, and they grabbed onto that. So that was my theme for a long time. But then I started, like, when I was a creative pro, I changed it up to that Electric Six Danger High Voltage, because it's such a weird song, but I always liked the feel of it. I thought that was more intense, and like, again, these little evolutions of character. As far as Evil Kip goes, that started because I had to do a show for Crowbar, and he didn't want me to be the nerd right away for some reason. So he's like, "Do you have regular gear?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do." And it was around that time I was also getting into really good shape. So I was like, "Well, if I'm gonna do one match in regular gear, I might as well go all out." So I got the gear, and then I got a nice spray tan going and stuff like that, trunks. And I posted the picture on social media just to be like, oh, kind of stepped out of my comfort zone. And the response was kind of like, what the heck have you been doing wearing a bow tie, suspenders, and hiding this body? And then from there, Blitzkrieg Pro felt it was time, to make a change. Like, let's see what else you can do. Everyone always thought that if I were to be a bad guy, they'd be like, oh, you're going to be the evil nerd, or you're going to be the bad nerd. And I was like, no, I knew I wanted to do something totally different and have an edge. And I think I wrestle best when I have a chip on my shoulder in either character, where I'm kind of like, don't doubt me. If you doubt me, I'm going to shove it right up your ass. And that's what Evil Kip is, like having a chip on my shoulder. And yeah, you thought I was going to be this. No, it's this. And it's displaying that chip on my shoulder. Like, you looked past me because I would dress up in a bow tie and suspenders. Like, you thought, like, I can only wrestle one way. Well, now I want to show you everything I've got and show you that vicious streak. And I think that's been a high compliment when people were like, oh my God, like, we didn't know you had that in you. And I'm still working on it, but I think that's like the coolest, most rewarding part, is that people didn't see it coming, and I was glad to prove a lot of people, catch a lot of people off guard.
I'm giving Greg a chance to talk, but he's not taking
No, I'm good.
it.
I'm just really into this. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I feel like I'm taking over.
No,
Well, I guess it's Evil Chris coming out.
no, not at all. Absolutely not. I sometimes with these interviews that we do, I just kind of get lost in them a little bit, and I don't do a lot of preparation. I watch your matches and try and do a little bit of research, but I come in where I can, and when you give good long answers like that, this isn't about me. This is about you, man. Like you telling your story and having a conversation with us. But like I said, I don't have to. This isn't about me talking. I don't care.
Yeah,
Please.
sorry about the long answers.
Oh no, but
No, we
but
love the
that's the
long
best
answers.
part. That's
The
what's good
best
about it.
interviews we have are when we say about 12 words.
Yeah.
You ask a question and then people go, and those are the most fun, because it is about you. This is about getting to know you as a person, you as a character, you as a performer. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I think about this stuff a lot because I take wrestling very seriously because it's given me so much in my life. And again, I give a lot to it too, like a training and like I'll think about character stuff all the time, and I think about wrestling stuff all the time too. And I also like these podcasts because somebody said to me, "Yo, you don't really post much on social media." And I'm inept on social media, so that's why this is kind of like where I can express myself. So I do appreciate, the interview time, of course.
We are more appreciative of you giving us that time. At the end of the day, we're two fans that just love professional wrestling, just like, in that regard, just like you do. What little platform we have, we love to share with guys that work hard and love what they do. if you don't mind me asking, and please feel free to dodge the question, what was it like overcoming a traumatic brain injury and then becoming a professional athlete?
Well, I use that term athlete very loosely. Again, it happened when I was so young. And again, like, I dodged a bullet because I didn't have any internal bleeding. So it was just my skull cracking. But I didn't have to, like, get a major surgery, thank God. I think, as with anything, it's just a lot of mental blocks. And, like, again, I'm not the biggest human being at all. Like, I was very small. I was always picked on in high school for my size. I didn't really have a growth spurt until college. And even then, like, very skinny. It's hard for me to put on, like, real, real weight. But it was just something that I knew I had to pursue it. Like, it was always in the back of my head, and I was just, I don't know why I just had to do this. It's just one of the strongest feelings I've ever had in my life. And again, there's so much failure in wrestling, and it's tough. There's a lot of days where, like, I'll come out of training being like, what the heck? Like, I couldn't do anything right. The mental part is, like, the hardest part, where, like, a move you can't land. But then when, like, conversely, when you're doing something and you're able to perfect it, like, there's no greater rush. And then when you do it in front of a crowd, the crowd reacts to it. Like, there's no better feeling. So, again, for me, this is, like, the learning process was just, again, it's understanding that there's things physically I'm not going to be able to do no matter how hard I try, but that's okay because there's going to be other things I'm going to do really well. And those are things I'm going to emphasize. And I'm not going to let that hold me back. And understanding, too, there's the things that I can do better. Like, all right, you know, I can figure out a better workout routine, which, you know, I can figure out different ways to eat. And that, like, helped out my body a lot as well. You know, again, the physicality, like, as far as the head thing goes, like, sometimes people would joke when I first started training, like, oh, man, you don't want to leave your feet. Well, gee, I wonder why. But, you know, I've figured out ways around it. And, again, even despite that, like, again, I've figured out how to make myself the best wrestler I could be under any condition.
You hide that well, to be honest. Until you said it, I never would have put two and two together. So while you may not want to be taken off your feet, it wasn't something that stood out in the research that we did for us to even ask about it. Like, I would never have had any inkling short of you mentioning it before. So kudos to you on that.
Yeah. Well, again, you want to be a wrestler, you got to do it.
So talk to us a little bit about how the shows with limited fans or no fans impact you as a performer.
I mean, it impacts us greatly. Again, when you're training, you're kind of trained like, okay, you know, again, you have to remember to, you're going to have a crowd there. You're going to have a crowd feeding off of you. You have to make those moments for them, things of that nature. And, you know, when you don't have that instant gratification, it's tough. But you got to just make do. This is a great lesson for anybody who wants to become a TV wrestler, because luckily with Synergy being on Fight, you know, I had to remember that there was a crowd watching us online. What was cool is, like, somebody from Seattle I just got into contact with who saw the show and liked it. I'm like, wow, that's pretty unbelievable right there, like the reach of professional wrestling even still under these conditions. For Creative Pro right now, we're filming the Quarantine Cup. And that's where all the matches, there's no fans, and it's just going straight online. And again, there's no fans there, but we have to remember that people are still going to watch this. So it's tough in a sense because you want that instant gratification, you want those big reactions. But on the other hand, you have to keep in the back of your mind, people are going to watch this. So you still want to put your best foot forward, you know, do the best you can. And the same boat I'm in is the same boat that guys in WWE are in, and same thing with AEW as well. We're all trying to figure it out at the same time, and it's interesting to see who's excelling in it and who's, you know, having struggles. Like, I think looking at the product, like, I think Asuka is somebody who took advantage of this opportunity and has ran with it, and, you know, it's great to see. And it's good to where you can still pick out learning opportunities on TV now and try and incorporate that into your own matches and your own game.
I think at the end of the day, while fans are frustrated, I think we're going to be the ultimate winners in it, because regardless of level that you're watching, I think the appreciation for fans has only grown even more. Because, you know, just from talking to people, you know, I can only imagine as a performer how exciting it'll be that first time a crowd is full again.
Oh yeah, I mean it's gonna be unreal. I'm just afraid that people are gonna like go out guns blazing and break a neck. You're like, oof, you know. But I think we're all the way I'm looking at it, like I'm always grateful to be on any show, but especially in these quarantine times, like, you know, I'm super grateful to Synergy for the opportunity. And again, if any other promoter out there is listening to this and wants to utilize me, like by all means, I want to make it work. And it, you know, any match I could pick up in this time is just like I'm thankful for, because again, like I'd always joke with everybody, oh, wrestling's always going to be here. Oh, don't worry, wrestling's always going to be here. And for a while, it wasn't. And it's just kind of like, wow, like it was freaky. So anything I can get now, it's just like, yeah, it's a blessing.
You know, and a lot of that is how we wound up where we are. You know, if it wasn't for quarantine, I'm not positive that we bring back the podcast. We had done the podcast 2 years ago. We did a recap, not a recap show, but an old school wrestling podcast. Had a great time doing it. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right fit. And I'll be the first one to admit I got frustrated and I was like, nope, done. I want to focus on my coaching and just I'm out. And the first thing when quarantine hit and football was no longer there, I went, well, what am I doing to keep myself up? I'm watching a ton of wrestling. And then I hit up Greg and I'm like, you want to do this again? He's like, I was waiting for you to ask. And, you know, here we are. And, you know, I kind of said, hey, what do you think about doing an interview show? And he's like, oh, that sounds like a horrible idea. So many things can go wrong. And I'm like, no, let's try. And we're probably, what, 40 in now, almost, in terms
Yeah,
of
it's
interviews.
up there. Yeah, we've
And
but we ha I ha excuse me, it has to be because we have 35 episodes on iTunes at the time of this recording, and about 10 or so interviews in the can that we haven't released yet.
I can honestly say, in talking to people, and this includes you, and I hope you feel the same way that we do, is we're walking away with friends. Like, not just, you know, guys we interview, but people we're invested in, and hopefully they're as invested in our podcast too, because we want it to be different, right? Like, we try to avoid the who's your dream match, and it's amazing how many people will bring it up on their own, and we chuckle because we're like, nah, I was never coming, bro. I promise. But it's just the wrestling community. It's amazing. The fans at times suck, and we hate wrestling fans because they can't just accept that people like different things, which shouldn't surprise me because that's the world in 2020. If you don't agree with anyone, then you're wrong. But with wrestling performers and people in the business, it's just been incredible to be embraced and to be able to talk to people and hear their stories. It's fascinating, you know, to us. And it makes us more invested in wanting to go to shows. Like, I can't wait to go on Saturday. And I'm sorry to hear that you're not going to be there because, you know, next show that you're on that I'm at, we got a t-shirt for you. You know, at the end of the day, we're doing this to help you get your brand out there. And I hope that promoters do listen and do give you the opportunity. And there's one in mind that, you know, I'm definitely going to make mention to, if you don't mind traveling a little bit, but I'm definitely going to send your name down to her, you know, just because I think you'd fit with your two characters in what they're doing down in Elevate Pro down in New Orleans. We definitely appreciate you taking the time and you being such a unique performer, and you know, and having a character that, look, there's a lot of people that would have tried to dodge your character for everything in the world because it's not the quote unquote cool guy. But there's something so much more fun, I would think. Like, I always joke, if I was a performer, I'd have the worst music possible. I want something stupid, like Canadian rock, like straight up, like Glass Tiger, Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone, because no one's going to forget.
Do not poop on that song. The backup vocals by Bryan Adams. I will not hear any disparaging of that song.
I love it. Like, genuinely, I love that song. But it is one of those that people, if you came out to it, people are going to look at you sideways. But that's okay. Because you're not going to forget me.
The Evil Kip theme song is Against All Odds by Phil Collins. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I wanted a song that no one can clap to.
I don't know. I would clap to it. That's incredible.
Try it. Try me. Try Evil Kid.
Can we do it after the show? Because I don't want to be hit on television. I think that's, to me, that is the most underrated part of wrestling. And I think everybody, I'm going to say, when they get in, they want to have that cool theme, high energy, everybody loves it and into it. And I'm thinking, well, every song sounds the same. Well, you come out to Phil Collins, it don't sound the same, and that's awesome. Phil Collins, just on a side note, that was a song I listened to In the Air Tonight before every football game I ever played in high school, because it calmed me down. Like, it just made me focus for whatever reason. And then everybody told me how much of a geek I was and how stupid I was. And then Ray Lewis and Ed Reed talk about it, and then it's the coolest thing ever, and nobody remembers that I did it.
Yeah, I think everybody who's a wrestling fan always thinks about what their theme song would be and stuff like that. But again, like, trust me, I'm not the biggest Phil Collins fan, but I wanted a song that, you know, fit the mood for Evil Kip. And I was just like, what would this character want? And it was something like, all right, well, I don't want people to clap. I don't want people to cheer. I don't want people to be like, oh man, what a badass song. Or, like, I didn't want anybody to cheer for me for any reason. Like, I just tried finding as much, nope, I'm taking everything I possibly can away from you. And that's what I think, you know, goes into it. As far as, like, what you were saying about, like, being the cool person or being the top dog, like, I think I got this, like, Brian Myers said this about his WWE run. He was like, you know, not everybody can be Roman Reigns, but that doesn't mean that you're nothing. Like, you still have a role. And I think that's true in the indies. Like, everybody wants to be the top dog, but, like, I always looked at myself as, like, I just want to be on the show. If I can get on the show, I can, you know, I can let the chips fall where they may. I could be your good guy. I could be your bad guy. If you want to put me in the main event, I'll give you a main event match. If you want me to be an opener, I'll give you an opener. If you want me to be in a tag team, like, I always want to make myself as flexible as possible, because I always felt like that was, you know, how to make myself as marketable as possible. And again, like, that's not for everybody, but that's just how I looked at myself. And I think that was because of, like, all my struggles. It was just like, you know, just get there. After that, I can figure everything out.
On our end, and I think I speak for Greg, you know, keep inspiring people, man. You do a great job, you know, and you definitely have two fans in us for sure. You know, and we look forward to continuing to watch you progress and see where things go for you.
Hopefully far. Hopefully New Orleans, and they pay me in baguettes.
Maybe beignets.
Oh, beignets, that's what it is. Whatever. Listen, I love Cajun food, so just feed me all of it.
Dude, we're New Yorkers. New Orleans is the best food city I've ever been to in my travels.
That's awesome.
By I've a never lot. Been there. And Phil never Collins is there. And Phil Collins is my favorite singer of all time. For true story.
It
Phil,
is.
Phil, if you're listening, don't sue me for royalties.
No, it's fine. It's okay. I went to see him at Madison Square Garden in October, I paid a super amount of money to see him in person because I knew I would never be able to see him again. My wife didn't want to go because she thought, she's like, I only know one of his songs, that Africa song. And I was like, you really think Phil Collins is Toto? And I don't know why I married you. But it was a fantastic show. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Oh, I can't wait to see her. Oh my God, I'm going to have a field day with that.
I never told you that story.
No, I'm going to have a field day.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
That's fun.
Yeah.
You need to understand, we've been best friends since we were little kids. So, like, that is going to be fun. I can't wait.
That's awesome that you guys are doing a podcast. I'm trying to get one started myself, so... You know, it's cool when you kind of find a partner like that.
Oh, yeah, it's easy.
You know, Greg's tried to replace me, but deep down he always comes back.
I have never tried to replace you. That is a lie.
No, other people tried to get him to replace me.
No, I don't even think that's true, but I've never tried to replace you. I've tried to do solo things in our hiatuses, but... and got into more writing about wrestling, but I've never tried to like actively go after another co-host.
Look at me stirring the pot. Look at me stirring the pot. Evil Kip stirring the pot.
Oh, listen, if you weren't going to do it, I was. So it's only fun if you get Greg mad at you at least once during an interview.
Cause I never get mad. I'm such a sweet boy. Everyone just just laughs when I get angry. Sucks.
I'm laughing right now.
I know, see? And I'm not even upset.
Why don't you plug your social media that you say you're not good at, but get it out there for people to follow.
All right, so on let me do Twitter and Instagram. It's at Francis Kip STVNS because they wouldn't let me spell out Stevens. On Facebook, it's Francis Kip Stevens. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. I do have t-shirts for sale. Just contact me on social media. I will gladly sell them to you. See, things I got to get started on. I got to get like a big cartel page eventually. So if you ever see one pop up for me, just those will be my shirts will be. And those are the main spots right now to find me.
Awesome. Well, again, we can't thank you enough for taking some time and stick around after we cut off, and we'll talk more. But you can follow us at DDT Archives on both Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Chris_DDTHSLB. We're going to keep bringing you the most unique and fun interviews that we can. And thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back with you again in a couple days. Have a good night, everybody.